Praise the Lord for Jesus. I tell you, what we've seen in current events and just things taking place around the nation, around the world, even in our own homes and neighborhoods, we need Jesus more than ever before. And I'm so thankful that in his name there's healing, there's power, there's light. As we were singing earlier, Jesus is our everything. And if you haven't come to him today, if you haven't come to know him today, then why wait? It's a privilege this morning to worship with you. For those of you who weren't here last week, Pastor Jamie is on a little bit of a vacation, and don't worry, you'll get him back here in just a little bit. But in the meantime, it's a privilege to be able to be here with you. My name is Godfrey, my wife Debbie, and our kids Jenna, Jaden, and Jacob. We moved here about 2 months ago, actually 3 months ago now, here from California, and Rocky Mountain Conference asked us to plant a church in Castle Rock, just over the way, and it's a blessing to call you friends and neighbors. I hope you know that this church is special. The Franktown Church is very, very special. Our kids ask to come here all the time. And so if we didn't have our own church, this is probably where we would be. I guess this is where we are right now. Anyways, so thank you, really, sincerely and deeply from the bottom of my heart for the fellowship, the friendship, and really the camaraderie that happens when we know that we've got the same goal, our eyes are on the same prize, and that's eternity in heaven with Jesus. And in the meantime, there are three angels' messages that are being proclaimed all around the world, and each of us has a part in being able to light up this world with his glory. Amen. 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 It's not just the person up here on stage. It's not just the person on TV. Each one of us does. Amen. All right. And if you don't believe me, let's study the book of Revelation. All right. Let's pray together as we dive into this book. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much that you have given us yet another opportunity to gather together as believers, to gather together even as seekers, to gather together as children of the Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we come, we realize that we are in need of Jesus. And so we're asking today that as we open up this book, as we open up the Bible, you would open up our hearts. We're asking today that as we read these words on paper, we would hear the living word of the living God. Father, these are special times in which we're living. They're tragic times. They're anxious times. They're times in which we are in desperate need of Jesus. And so we ask, God, that you would fulfill our heart's desire just now, that we would know Jesus, love Jesus, and serve Jesus. Because you've known us, loved us, and even served us. So, Father, thanks in advance for sending us your Holy Spirit. Thanks in advance for sending us your Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' saving name, let the family say, amen. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, and go with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. We're going to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Over the last several weeks, Pastor Jamie has been leading us in a study of the messages to the seven churches. The seven churches of Revelation. These were not the only churches in existence at the time, but these were seven churches that John was given visions to write specific messages from Jesus himself. And if you have a red letter Bible, you see that in Revelation 2 and 3, all of that stuff is in red letters because this is coming straight from the mouth of Jesus as it's revealed to his beloved prophet, John. And as we've been seeing all these messages, isn't it awesome that Jesus actually has messages for us? Like he has a message specifically for Ephesus. He has a message specifically for Pergamum. A message specifically for Sardis, etc., Thyatira, and all of these churches. And he knows their situations, and Jesus has a message specifically tailor-made for them. And then at the end of all those messages, he says, let all those who have ears hear. So these messages, even though they're tailor-made, they're actually made for everyone to hear. And that's why we're listening to them here in the 21st century. Here we are, Revelation chapter 3, and we're beginning in verse 7. Thanks, Jack, for opening this up for us. In verse 7, the Bible says, "And to the angel of the church," where? In Philadelphia. This isn't in Pennsylvania on the East Coast, all right? This is a town called Philadelphia. It was actually named after the king, the Pergamenian king, Attalus II. And you're like, named after Attalus II. Well, Attalus II was actually nicknamed Philadelphus because he was well known for his love for his brother. And if you know the meaning of Philadelphia, it actually means brotherly love. And so this city was named after its founder, Attalus II, who was nicknamed Philadelphus. And Attalus II, when he founded this city here, he actually strategically positioned it in such a way, he realized that it was kind of on the imperial postal roads. He strategically designed this city to be a city of influence. A city of what? Good. A city of influence. In other words, really, he wanted this city to be one that influenced other cities, specifically to spread Greek culture, to spread Greek ideas, paradigms, worldviews, Greek language. And so Philadelphia was actually, you might even call it a missionary city, okay? It was a city strategically placed where people would, it was kind of a communication crossroads. And in this city of Philadelphia, the city of missionary influence, there is a church. There is a body of believers that Jesus has a very special message for. And as we read, it says in verse 7, if you have a Bible, I'm reading from the New King James. If you don't have a Bible, you can look at, you can follow the text here on the screen. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus begins this message to the believers in Philadelphia. He says, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens." Before Jesus begins to give them a revelation of their needs, a revelation of their future instructions, as he has done in the past, Jesus gives a revelation of himself. All right. And what's the revelation that you see? It says, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true." If you'd ask me, those are some trustworthy credentials. Jesus is the divine Son of God. He's saying, "I'm holy. I'm the one that when angels were envisioned by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, and Isaiah saw angels flying above the throne of God, and they said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.' That's me." This is from Jesus, the divine one. And he says, he who is true, not just the one who is free from error, but the one who is free from any lack of insincerity. He's the one who is genuine. He was through and through faithful, absolutely trustworthy. This message that we're about to hear is coming from one that we can count on. Amen. And it says, the rest of the verse, it says, he who has the what of David? The key of David. He who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. And so I don't know if John, when he's, you know, listening to Jesus as he's just seeing this vision of Jesus, I don't know if Jesus is dangling some keys in front of him or not. But what Jesus does want to know is that he's got a key. He's got a key. And this key is really significant, whatever this key is. But what we do know is that keys open things. Keys shut things. Keys give access and even authority to things. Do you know where your keys are right now? who do you give your car keys to? Who do you give your house keys to? The things that you have access to, that you have privileged access to, you don't necessarily just toss those keys to anyone, unless you're trying to distract a baby while you're changing his diaper or something like that, right? Yeah, even then, that's not so good of an idea sometimes. But here's the point. Jesus says, hey, I have the key. I've got authority. I've got access. And specifically, what authority and access does Jesus have? If we were to look just a few chapters earlier, if you have your Bible, go flip to chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1. Jesus says of himself in verse 18, if you're there, say amen. All right. Chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of, what are the next few words there? Of Hades and of death. Hades is another term for the grave. Jesus says, hey, I've got access to this. You may think that death, the tomb, is something that's locked shut. No. I know how to get people out of that. Amen. Right? And Jesus says, I have power over even the most final of things in your human experience. But here in chapter 3, what does he have keys to? You know, it's really interesting. Here it's in chapter 3, verse 7, if you flip back to it, it says, he who has the key of who? Of David, the key of David. Very interesting. Jesus is basically saying, hey, look, I've got the key that David longed for. And what was it that David longed for? You read through the Old Testament, you read about the stories of King David and stuff. God gave David a very special covenant. He gave him a promise. He said, hey, David, if you're faithful to me, your kingdom is going to last forever. Do you remember those promises? On your throne, you're going to have someone that your kingdom's just going to last and last and last. Did David's kingdom last forever? No. Solomon, he was a good king for a while, right? Rehoboam, Jeroboam split things up, you know, and all on down the line. David's kingdom did last for a long while, but it didn't last forever. But the Jews of the Old Testament hung on to this hope that, whoa, if God gave David that promise, then somewhere along the line, it's going to be fulfilled. That God would send an anointed king, a Messiah, that would reign in such a way that would reflect the character and glory of God. Who was that king? His name was Jesus. Jesus says, I'm that one, the one in whom all your hopes belong. I have full authority over this kingdom. What's really interesting is if you have, like, if your Bible is like mine, that phrase there, he who has the key of David, it's in italics. Does your Bible have that? Mine's in italics, which means that it's actually a direct quotation from the Old Testament. It's being taken from Isaiah chapter 22. Hezekiah, one of the kings of the lineage of David, he had a servant. He had, a steward in his court that he really trusted, over and above somebody else named Shebna. And in Isaiah chapter 22, there's actually a promise, a prophecy that's saying, hey, Hezekiah, eventually the keys of your kingdom, you're actually going to entrust, not Shebna, you're actually going to entrust this guy named Eliakim. And it says, then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. And what's that next phrase? I will commit your responsibility into his hand. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. Here, when Revelation is applying this prophecy of Hezekiah's experience, Hezekiah was saying, hey, look, I'll give Eliakim the keys to my kingdom, so to speak. He can be a steward of my house. He's a good manager. He's trustworthy. He can handle all of these things. But Eliakim wasn't the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. That's why Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 is saying, no, this is about Jesus. You're looking for someone who can access that eternal kingdom for everyone, who can open it up for everyone. His name is Jesus. And so in Revelation chapter 3, we see Jesus as having full authority. Did Jesus have full authority over heaven and earth? He sure did. When you look at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll take a look maybe later on, but when you look at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, you know, he gathers some of his disciples there after he has resurrected from the grave, and he says some familiar words. He says, therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you heard those familiar words before? Well, right before that, he says, all authority under heaven and earth has been given unto me. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. All authority under heaven and earth has been given unto me. And so here at the beginning of this message to the church of Philadelphia, Jesus wants to remind them, hey guys, I'm the man. I got the keys. I've got full authority under heaven and earth, all that you're looking for, all that you're longing for, all that is of any eternal significance. It's in me, Jesus says. And so what does Jesus have to share with them? As not just saying, ha ha, I got the keys and you don't. Well, what does he want to share with the church of Philadelphia? Let's keep reading. And in verse 8, Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, I know your works, right? This is something that shows up in every message to every church that he's speaking to in Revelation 2 and 3. I know your works. See, I have set before you a what? An open door. And the rest of the phrase actually says, an open door, and no one can shut it. What's really cool about the Church of Philadelphia, I don't know if you were here last week and you were looking at the Church of Sardis, Jesus had some very strong words for the Church of Sardis. They had a name that they were alive, but they were actually dead, right? They weren't playing dead, they were actually playing alive. You remember that? And Jesus says, hey, no wasting time. I'm not even going to waste any time saying, hey, you're doing this right, you're doing this right. He doesn't waste any time with affirmations for Sardis. He says, no, let's just turn the ship right around, right? Well, for Philadelphia, he doesn't have any words of rebuke. Jesus doesn't have any words of correction. He just says, oh, man, this is what you've got going on. This is what I can affirm. This is what I can assure. Keep going at it. And so what is he saying? He says, see, I have set before you an open door. An open door. When you're trying to make decisions in your life, you know, you're trying to decide, should I get the boxes or not, right? You're trying to decide, should I have moved or not? Should I take this job or not? Should I do this? Should I do that? Sometimes what you're looking for are Urim and Thummim. Sometimes what you're looking for are open doors and closed doors. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? You're looking for things that, okay, that's obviously the way I should go. Or, man, there's a barrier there. That's not the direction I need to go. And Jesus is saying, look, the door is open. He's talking about an opportunity that is available to the church in Philadelphia. In fact, Paul uses this metaphor quite often. And so as we're asking, okay, what is this open door that Jesus sets before us that no one can shut? We need to look back at how the scriptures have used this metaphor of the open door. Paul uses it quite a bit throughout the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, it says, for a great and effective door has opened to me. Well, what kind of door? Is it door number one, number two? Well, what door is this? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he mentions the same thing. He says, when I came to Troas to preach what? To preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. When Paul was talking about open doors and shut doors and things like that, he was talking about missionary opportunities. He was talking about opportunities to share the good news of who Jesus is, that he is the king who has the keys. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the what? A door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ. So going back to this idea of Jesus, he says, I have set before you, an open door. Here's Jesus. He's got the keys. He's got full authority. What door is he wanting to open? Well, again, Matthew chapter 28, when he says, hey, I've got authority under heaven and earth, what door was he opening up to the disciples? All authority. Actually, let's go there. Can you just open your Bibles? Keep a finger here in Revelation chapter 3. Go to Matthew. So we're going from the last book of the New Testament to the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. You need to see this. Maybe you haven't seen this in connection before. Some of us, we jump right to verse 19 and 20, but I want to start in verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. When you're there, go ahead and say, I found it. All right. Here, pages flipping. Screens tapping. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, that's his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. If we were to just paraphrase this in the lingo of Revelation, Jesus has the keys of David, okay? So all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And the next two words in verse 19, in the New King James, it says, go therefore. Did you catch that? Or maybe yours says, therefore go, right? Go therefore. In other words, the commission to go is on the basis of Jesus' authority. The commission to go is not on the basis of your charisma. Amen. The commission to go is not on the basis of how many resources you have stored in the bank just in case things don't go right. The commission to go is not based on any qualification of yourself. It's based upon every qualification of Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And so back in Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus says, I have set before you an open door, he presents himself as having the keys, as having full authority, and says, I've given you an open door that nobody can shut. He's really essentially telling this church in Philadelphia, I have given you a gospel commission, and no one's going to take that commission away. I have given you an opportunity. It's not just a gospel commission, it's a gospel opportunity. Do you believe that you have gospel opportunities right around you? Apparently, the church in Philadelphia, they needed this reminder. It's ironic almost, but it's genius. In this city of Philadelphia, that was a city of missionary influence, right? A king had set it up, a human king had set it up to be a missionary city. In that city, the King of Kings has to remind his church that they have missionary influence. I've opened a door, and no one can shut it. And no one can shut it. And so here, as we're talking about this door that's wide open, we're just gonna kind of run through three essentials. If you're in the habit of taking notes, you can write these things down. But essential number one is the reminder. Jesus is the one who opens the door. Not you. Not me, not anyone else, not even opposition, not even people who cheer you along. They're not the ones who open the door for you. Jesus has given each of us a missionary opportunity. And so that's the essential number one of the door that's wide open. It's the reminder that Jesus is the one who opens the door. The Church of Philadelphia needed that reminder. Maybe today you need that reminder. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in this city that was specifically designed and strategically placed by a king to be a center of influence, this church hears from the King of Kings that they were specifically designed and strategically placed to have missionary influence. You were specifically designed and strategically placed to have missionary influence. That's the first essential, the reminder that Jesus is the one who opens the door. How about the other essentials? We find the reasons for this door that's wide open. So not just the reminder that Jesus opens the door, but the reasons that he does it. The reasons he gives us this opportunity to be missionaries. And when I say missionaries, I'm not just talking about missionaries far, far and away. Praise the Lord for missionaries who are going far, far away. How many of you, are going to Mongolia later this summer? Praise the Lord. There are doors wide open, near and far. And so when we're talking about being missionaries, we're saying, hey, missionaries here, missionaries there. Missionaries up front, missionary behind the scenes. Missionaries in public, missionaries in personal effort. Do you follow me today? Yeah? Any mission that fulfills the gospel commission of making disciples is a door that Jesus has opened, okay? All right. So here we are, Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Now the reasons. Why does Jesus give Philadelphia this open door that no one can shut? The Bible says in verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have how much strength? What? Well, that's a good reason. Okay, you have a little strength. have kept my word and have not denied my name. There's a threefold rationale. The first essential thing here in the reasons for the door that's wide open is little strength. Philadelphia has little strength, and they're the perfect candidates for God to reveal his strength. I love this. I needed this week. I needed this assurance, this promise. In the Greek, the word little is actually micros. And so you could even say this is micro strength. This micro strength is actually a reason that Jesus sees, okay, I'll open a door for a people with micro strength. Why in the world would he do that? It's actually because they're not strong that the opportunities for effectiveness are wide open. Some of you may feel like you're not strong. You don't have great spiritual gifts. That you don't have great stage presence or whatever the case. I don't know. Your micro strength is actually God's opportunity for macro effectiveness. All right? Whether you know it or not, Jesus says, hey, you've got little strength. Here's a door wide open. Amen. Reasons 2 and 3, it says, no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Right there is essentially two reasons of faithfulness there. They've kept God's word. They haven't denied his character. They haven't denied his name. In other words, it's faithful to God's word. It's faithfulness to God's character, to his name. See, effectiveness, catch it. Effectiveness is not about whether we are powerful, but whether we are faithful. Your effectiveness in mission, in ministry, is not so much about whether you appear powerful, but whether you are truly faithful to God's word and to his name, his character, okay? See, when, I don't know if I'm the only one in this room that feels like this, but a lot of times I don't feel very powerful, okay? The Greek word there for strength is actually dunamis. It's the word that we get dynamite from. So I don't feel like I walk into a room and I'm like dynamite there, or I walk into a neighborhood and boom, you know, things happen. Well, maybe that's not a, anyway, okay. Bad metaphor for these days and age. Okay. Here's the thing. When we don't feel dynamic, or I'll just say it for myself. When I don't feel dynamic, I take that as an excuse to not try very hard. I take that as an excuse to let someone else do it. Can I get a witness? Is that, yeah, okay. So when I don't feel very dynamic, I usually take that as my cue to step back and let somebody else do it. I don't seek out opportunities, but what if those opportunities to be God's missionaries are less about who we are and more about who he is? They've kept his word. They've not denied his name. It's not about us. It's about him. I've heard a song that's become one of my favorites, and you know, it uses this phrase, maybe you've heard it before, that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Have you heard that before? It's beautiful. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Think about the 12 disciples that Jesus handpicked, right, to actually be the world changers, the people that would turn the world upside down. He didn't call the qualified, he qualified the called. Later on in the song, it goes, you can be too big for God to use, but you can never be too small. Did you hear it? You can be too big for God to use, but you can never be too small. Jesus says, hey, I've opened a door for you. Why? Because you have little strength. And in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Remember the Gospel Commission, go therefore. Well, what's the therefore? Because I've got all this going for me? Because I'm so great at this and that? No. Go therefore because he's so great. You have little strength. These are the reasons that Jesus opens the door. So first, you may need the reminder today that Jesus is the one who opens your missionary opportunities. Or two, you may need to know the reason. The reasons God opens those opportunities are the very excuses that we use against him. Amen. God knows that we can be used by him whether or not we feel so great. We can be too big sometimes for God to use, but we'll never be too small. You know, sometimes, you know, growing up in California, I'm actually going next week to go visit Not like I don't like Colorado. I just sometimes I. Anyways, okay. So in California, there's this place where we have our camp meetings. We have this 10-day camp meeting. It's in SoCal, not SoCal, but SoCal. And actually, we're going back there next week to see family, to see friends, to do some speaking and things like that. But one of the things I love about it is that SoCal is right just around the corner from Santa Cruz, California. It's a coast, so you get coastal weather going on. And one of the places there in Santa Cruz, it's actually known for its surfing. I'm not a surfer, but I like to pretend like I... Anyways, I tried it once. No, twice. Anyways, but what's neat is when you go to these cliffs where, you know, they've had surfing competitions and stuff, every now and then you'll just see, like, these bobbing heads floating on foam. And they're surfers, right? What they're doing is they're not just watching otters. They're not just, you know, they're actually waiting for waves. And every now and then, one of them will catch a big wave. Here's the thing, as they're waiting for the wave, there are waves coming all along. They just let them pass. And sometimes I feel like, as Christians, we think that we need to catch the big wave before we go through any open door of opportunity. We're just kind of waiting and waiting. Well, when the latter rain falls, then I'll get my game on. Or when the doors of North Korea open, then I'll be a mission. Or sometimes we wait for these big revelations of an open door, but what if there are small opportunities passing our way and we don't take advantage of those doors? Today, Jesus says, hey, look, even in your little strength or even in your seemingly small waves, catch them. Move forward with them. God is going to use those waves. They're always there for the taking. Don't just wait for the big shebang. And so here we are. There's a door wide open. Essential number one, the reminder that Jesus is the one that opens the door, not anybody else. The reasons for that open door, even our little strength. It's not so much because we're so powerful, but because we can be faithful. How about the third essential? The third essential is it's found there in Revelation 3, verses 9 through 12. And we'll just kind of look through these. And really the third essential is the results. The results of this wide open door. So you've got the reminder that Jesus opens the door, the reasons for Jesus opening the door, and now the results. What are the results of these missionary opportunities? You read in verse 9, it says, "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." And it's like, wow. I don't know if you're like me, but when I read, it just kind of jars me a little bit. The tone of things kind of turns into almost combative language. Apparently, there's this church in Philadelphia. They've been trying. It's almost as if they've been trying to serve God, but they feel that those doors have been closed because of the opposition they've met. Have you ever been there? You've tried to say something on behalf of Jesus. You've tried to use your spiritual gift in a certain way, but maybe it was met with rejection. Maybe it was met with some just form of opposition or argument or resistance of some sort. Maybe it was a family member who said, no, why in the world are you doing that? Maybe it was a friend who said, couldn't you do something better with your time? How could you possibly think like... Or maybe it was even a fellow brother or sister in the body of Christ. I said, no, that's not your fit. Or maybe, you know, this isn't the right time for that. And here's the thing. When we go through the opportunities that God opens before us, it's going to be met with Satan's opposition. God's opportunities will inevitably be met with Satan's opposition. He's not going to be an enemy that just kind of lies down and lets you tromp all over the kingdom of darkness. God's opportunities, it's true, they incite Satan's opposition. That's one of the results of this door that's wide open. But if we're looking at verse 9, we realize, wait, that opposition doesn't have the final word. Jesus says, hey, I'll make those that are your enemies actually come and recognize, oh, God's on their side. Whatever the opposition would do to thwart the micro efforts of Philadelphia, God promises to overrule all of those. Maybe some of us resonate with this. You've tried. Maybe you've faced discouraging opposition, resistance, or just kind of a redirection of your intention to reach out or do ministry or be involved in this or that. God wants you to know, I've got your back. I've got your back. Don't let resistance stop you. That door is still open. Remember? The things that he opens, no one else can shut. No one else can shut that. In verse 10, the Bible says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Another one of the results. So we've already seen that one of the results of the door that's wide open is that it incites opposition from the enemy, but God is on our side. Another result is that Jesus assures us, he gives us the promise of preservation because of our perseverance to keep going through those open doors. That's something that the enemies, people that try to oppose, cannot claim. But praise the Lord, these micro-missionaries, they have the assurance that God will carry them through. Some more results. In verse 11, it says, behold, I am coming quickly. Praise the Lord, man. That's the heartthrob of every missionary effort. Some way, somehow, this, whether it's a little effort, a big effort, a big door, a small door, somehow, some way, Jesus is going to come quickly as a result of this. In verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. The imperative here is to hold fast. Hold fast to what you have. What did the Church of Philadelphia have? Well, according to this context, they had an open door. Right? They had an opportunity. Jesus is encouraging them, hold fast to that. Not because that door is going to shut, but because someone else is going to walk through that door if you don't. And not to say that we want to keep other people out of the game. No, no, no. God has many opportunities, many open doors, many missionary possibilities for each and every one of us. But we don't want to be the spectator that says, oh, that could have been me. At least I don't. I mean, there are opportunities that Jesus says, hey, I have specifically wired you for this. I have specifically set up circumstances for you to be in a relationship or a friendship or be a neighbor to this person or to be positioned here or there, to be in that workplace. I've specifically called you, and that door is open for you. Hold fast to that, Jesus says. Otherwise, hey, someone else is going to take that opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunities because there is possibility, not of the opportunities being closed, but that in our neglect, we give those opportunities up. What are some other results? In verse 12, the Bible says, he who overcomes, oh, I love this. He who overcomes, by the way, that's what missionaries really are. They're overcomers, okay? If you've ever, I don't know, there are opportunities where I have to, earlier this week, I was rerouted on my errands because, man, road construction in Castle Rock happens at the same time everywhere around town. I don't know. Anyway, so I was rerouted this way, and I was passing by the apartment complex of someone that I had met several weeks ago who actually desired Bible studies. I had tried to play phone tag with him back and forth, and soon I began to feel like I was smothering him with, hey, when are we going to study? So I just kind of backed off a little bit. But on my reroute, my detour, I just had this strong impression. Maybe I should stop in. And I thought, no, I'll just go in the parking lot and pray for him. And so I parked in the parking lot of his apartment complex, and I looked back at the door just with this wistful prayer, Lord, please open up the door. And sure enough, there's this man, Richard, walking to his door. I thought, oh. Felt a strong impression to get out of the car, and I thought, no, I'll just stay here and pray some more. What ends up happening is that we have like a half an hour conversation in his living room. He shares with me a little bit of the struggles that he's been going through, the reasons why he wasn't able to call back, and things like that. When we're missionaries and we take those doors, we're actually overcomers. We're overcomers of fear. We're overcomers of our insecurities. We're overcomers of our past failures, whatever. Anyways, when you walk through that door, whether it's someone's literal door or just the opportunity. You're an overcomer. And this is what Jesus says to you. He who overcomes, I will make him, what does it say? I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Man, there's so much here. And I don't know if we have time to fully sink our teeth into this. But when Jesus says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, he's actually giving Philadelphia the assurance. The believers that aren't sure if they can go through that open door, he's saying, look, as you go through this open door of missionary opportunity, you're going to be strengthened with spiritual stability. You know, as I read the results, you're going to be a pillar in the temple of my God. You're going to have spiritual strength and stability. He shall go out no more. In other words, you're going to stay with me. You're going to be in my immediate presence. You'll have my company wherever you are. That's why at the end of the Gospel Commission, he says, and lo, I am with you always. So he shall go out no more. You're going to be with me, with God himself. And then it says, I will write on him the name of my God. You're going to reflect the character of God. In those three results right there, you'll have spiritual stability as a pillar in the temple of my God. You'll go out no more. You'll be in my presence. And then I will write on him the name. You'll have my character. Man, just let your hearts marinate on that. Because those very results are the things that I wonder about sometimes. Man, am I spiritually strong enough to actually walk through this missionary opportunity? Maybe you've said to yourself, no, I need to grow spiritually some more before I tell Josh that I want to give Bible study guides to people who respond, you know? Well, what if your going through that opportunity actually makes you strong? Sometimes we use our spiritual fragility as an excuse. Well, what if serving and seeking to bless other people actually makes you strong? In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. When the Bible says he shall go out no more, again, that's just a metaphor for saying, hey, look, you're going to be in my company 24/7. Sometimes we feel timid, like, oh, man, but I'm all by myself. No one's going to understand. It's okay. What if we actually get closer to God when we go through that door? When we say yes to that missionary opportunity, when we say yes to that ministry experience, when we say yes to, okay, I'll reach out to this person, even though I feel timid about things, God says, no, I'm gonna be with you. Does anybody else find comfort in that? And that's beautiful. We have the company, not just of angels, but of Jesus himself. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that last part, it says, I'll write my name on you. I'll put my character all over you. You will have the fingerprints of God all over you when you go through those missionary opportunities. Sometimes, maybe you've used this line. You know what? I just have too many faults. I just have too many hang-ups. People aren't going to see Jesus. They're gonna see my past, my tendencies, my habits, and things like that. Well, what if by saying yes to the missionary opportunities, Jesus makes you an overcomer in those areas? What if by saying yes to being part of that ministry or this opportunity, Jesus actually smooths your character over and you begin to reflect the character of Jesus? Each of these results is a direct address to the most common objections, the most common excuses that I put out to God. That's why I need to hear this message. It's not just to Philadelphia. It's to me. It's to me. It's to you. Maybe you've been putting out excuses. No, God says, I'm going to make you strong through this. Maybe you feel like you're all alone. And I'm going to be with you. Maybe you feel like you don't have the character. And I'll give you my character. Do you hear it? This is the one who is holy and true. He's got the keys. And he's opened the door. Maybe. So what was the essential of this wide open door that you needed? Did you need the reminder that he's the one that opens it? Did you need to know the reasons? It's not your strength, it's his strength. Did you need to know the results? whatever it is, my simple question today is, what do you believe about Jesus? You know, I can focus on just saying, hey, you should do this, you should do that, but really our behaviors are built upon our beliefs. So in our lack of missionary zeal, what are we saying we believe about Jesus? Is it possible that we don't believe him to be the holy and true one? Is it possible that we don't believe him to actually have the keys? Well, today I would encourage you to believe that Jesus is the one who has the keys. He's got a door, not just open for some, not just open for the spiritual giants, not just open for the people on the screens. He's got a door of missionary service for you, for me, and it's wide open. It's wide open. So what do I believe about Jesus? Do I believe that he has the key of David, that he has all authority under heaven and earth, that no matter what the opposition, Jesus has my back? Do you believe that his promise is true, that he'll make you a pillar, that he'll keep you in his immediate presence, that he'll write his name all over you? If that's your conviction, or maybe you're saying, I want to believe that, then what will we do? How will that reflect in our behavior? If that's our true belief of who Jesus is and what he has available to us, then what will we do about it? And this is where the Holy Spirit, you know, really just kind of gives you specific instructions. He's pressing on your heart. Maybe some of you are thinking of a face right now. Oh, man. Maybe some of you are thinking of a circumstance, a situation at work or in your classroom or wherever. Maybe there's a park that you haven't visited, or the last time you visited, there is this family that you just sense this tug to reach out to. Right now, the Holy Spirit is pressing upon your heart a who and a how. I don't know. Who is that neighbor? Who is that coworker, that classmate, that relative, that person across the hall? The door hasn't shut. Do you believe that? The door hasn't shut. Some of you may think, oh man, I just totally blew it. No, 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 no. The door hasn't shut. Or some of you may think, I just missed the opportunity. No, the door hasn't shut. Jesus has those keys. Maybe you're wondering how. What can I actually do? What word of encouragement? What token of care and compassion? What ministry can I involve myself in? What ministry leader do I need to call up and say, hey, count me in? I don't know, the Holy Spirit knows better than I do. I am so thankful that here in these times, God has a door for you. And when we walk through that door, when we walk through that opportunity, we're going to be strengthened. We're going to be in his presence. We're going to reflect his character. Oh man, I long for that today. How many of you long for that today? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, today, I know we went a little long, but I'm so thankful that you're the God who speaks to us. And Lord, we just want to confess, we have ears today. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to your church today. God, there are people right around us, right under our noses, so to speak, that are looking longingly to heaven, wondering how to know you, wondering how to be free from this or that. And Lord, I just pray for the ability to walk through in faith those open doors of missionary opportunity. Father, as we sing our closing song regarding the hope that you have given us, Lord, I pray that that would burn so deeply in our hearts that every door that we walk through, we would be an answer to the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you in advance for the ways you're going to work. In Jesus' saving name, let the family say, amen. Please, let's stand together as we sing our closing song. We have this hope. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the hope that burns within our hearts. And we're asking today that this hope would drive us forward and move us through the open doors of missionary opportunity you have in store for us. In Jesus' saving name, let the family say, amen. God bless you.